The Talk About podcast was designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. Recently, we've been focused on issues and topics that are associated with the United States. But we all know that the Black community expands far beyond the borders of the United States. And that's why on the upcoming season on Talk About with Ron, I want to take the podcast international and start talking to different members of the Black community that were not born and raised in the United States. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear what are the challenges that you face as a Black person in your country. Now, whether it's good or bad, you know, economic or not, I want to understand your country, the Black community. We need to come together, and we should come together and understand each other. Because my experiences as a Black American or African American is not the same as yours. I've sat down and I've talked to different Black people from around the world and, you know, who live here in the United States from other countries. And the experience is totally different. I want to hear that. I want to share that experience with other Black people. You know, my experiences you've learned from me, and I have international listeners. And I want to invite you to come onto my show and talk to me and tell the world about your country. Represent your country. Represent where you're from. Tell everybody what they should know about your country. I want to open those doors up to everybody because, like I said earlier, the Black community extends far beyond the boundaries of the United States border. I want to talk to all of you. I want to hear your experience. I want to share your experiences, and you can be an ambassador for your country and tell everybody what they should know about your country, you, how you're raised, your culture, your experiences, your view in life, everything. If you would like to come on the podcast and discuss your country and where you're from, there's a link down below. You can go onto my show and register as a guest. You can contact me directly on Facebook. It's the Ron Frazier Sr. You can go to my website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com. And you can have access to send me a message directly, or you can register as a guest, fill out the registration form, and I will contact you. This invitation also goes out to people who live in the United States that are from other countries, that were born and raised in other countries. So don't think that just because you live in the United States that you can't come on and be a part of this experience. I know that there are many people in the United States who were just moved here in the last 5-10 years and who have extensive experience in their country where you come from. So this invite goes to everyone that were not born and raised in the United States. So I invite you all to come be a part of the Talk About with the Ron Black Experience World Tour. Welcome back to Talk About, a podcast designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. And I am your host, Theron Frazier. Before we get started with this week's episode, I would like to share some information with you guys. We now have a website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com, where you can go there and support the show by using one of our affiliate links. There are several links there, one for Amazon, one for Fiverr, and one for Instacart. We also have a Patreon page where you can go and donate, and if you have a business, you can actually have a tier where we can promote your business on our Patreon page. Just go to www.talkaboutwiththeron.com and go to become a member. You can also subscribe there and leave your email address, and you will get the latest updates on the podcast. Welcome back to another episode of Talk About with Theron. I'm your host, Theron Frazier. So this week, we're going to continue the conversation with Tron and Jabari, where we talked about athletes. But this time, we're going to talk about how do we break that cycle. But before we get started on that, last week, I said that I was going to share my thoughts with Richard Sherman's situation. But I'm not going to do that. I actually have something I think is more important to talk about. And since the Olympics is going on, everybody has been on the case of Simone Biles for stepping back and letting her teammates take on and do the performances that, you know, she was going to do. Now, you can say what you want to say. Simone has done everything that she possibly can for this country. And if she felt like mentally she was not prepared to do what she needed to do safely, then you should support her. I mean, we're talking about an athlete that literally has to be the greatest athlete of all time in any sport. And I say that strongly. Simone Biles is the greatest athlete of any sport out there. You have to have a unique set of skills to do what she do. Ain't too many people in the world can do what she do the way she do it. And let me break this down for you. When you become a type of athlete that they have to change the rule because you're so good that you're too good. I never heard of anybody saying that you're so good that you're too good. You're too good to the point that where if other athletes try what you do, it's not safe for them. And you do it with ease. So the scoring system that we use, we're going to penalize you for being too good so that these other people don't overhear who's supposed to be these great athletes don't try to do what you're doing. And personally, I think that's unfair. And I think the Olympics and anybody who decided to change the scoring system so that she can get penalized for doing the stuff that she do because she's so good at it don't make any sense to me either. Now, you can say, oh, she's not being penalized. They just changed the scoring. She is being penalized. She's not getting fair scoring for the stuff that she's doing. If you're so good that you're going to not get scored the way you need to, then she should have stepped back because they're not going to give her U.S. team the right score because she's better than the other athletes. So if she's that so much more superior, she shouldn't be competing with them anyway because she's just that great. If you're not going to give her the scores that she deserves. With that being said, I applaud this young lady for what she did, no matter what her reason was behind it. Because you got a situation where they're not going to give her the proper scores. She got a situation where she felt like mentally she wasn't there. And if she continued, she was going to hurt herself. So whoever have anything to say about it, keep your thoughts to yourself. Keep your opinions to yourself. Are you going to judge her or say she should have did this for the country or did that for the country? She did what was right. And I support her 100%. If anybody got anything to say about that, we can debate about that as well. But let's get on to this episode. We're going to continue the conversation with Jabari and Tron, where we're talking about athletes. And last week we did Fame to Shame, so go back and listen to part one. This is part two, Breaking the Cycle. Okay, since it's draft night, let's do a draft update. Jabari, you got the draft list up?
Yep, I am slowly watching this draft live feed.
But what number are they on?
They're the 12th pick. The Dallas Cowboys just selected Micah Parsons from Penn State, which I don't necessarily trust any players coming from Penn State, but okay.
Don't do Penn like that.
So tell me who the Falcons picked?
Kyle Pitts from Florida, which is a surefire good pick because he has like the body frame of an Antonio Gates, but he has like the speed of an actual like D1 wide receiver. Like he, I want to say at his 40 combine, I want to say he ran like a sub 4.5 40. Which is unheard of for like a tight end, but he's built like Gronk. So he's a pretty freak of an athlete. Honestly, you put him in an offense with Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and Calvin Ridley and everything like that, you'll probably score a lot more points and, you know, be able to move that ball. Now, I don't know if this will lead them to having more touchdowns, though, because, see, the Falcons' problem wasn't moving the ball. Their problem was scoring touchdowns when they got to the end zone.
So we got two new running backs. So we got Mike Davis and what's the name they just picked up from Minnesota Vikings? Mike Davis from the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm. I know you're talking about. Hold on real quick.
So you feel like they're chasing the Gonzalez?
No, because when they got Gonzalez, they were chasing the Aldridge Crumpler.
Nigga, Gonzalez was better than Crumpler.
I know that. I'm saying they were replacing Aldridge Crumpler.
But I'm saying Falcons always had like a decent tight end. We ain't had one of them in since Gonzalez left.
You're right. We haven't.
We always kept a decent tight end.
So, well, since we're talking about draft night, Tilton have one person, I think, in the draft tonight, right?
Yeah.
Rashad Bateman.
Really? Yeah, we got Bateman. Yeah. They got Bateman in he played for Georgia.
Oh, snap. So, Rashad Bateman, he went to Fifth County?
Oh, he played for Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. In the draft. I think I saw some reports talking, a lot of teams talking about picking him up. So we'll see if it's first round or second round.
Third or fourth rated wide receiver in the NFL draft. Like of all of the wide receiver prospects, I want to say he's like fifth overall. So after let me just pull up the receiver positions and look at all the different draft grades they gave him and everything. Shad Bateman. Actually, no, he's a little farther out than that. 3, 4, 7, 8, 9. Ninth best receiver. But you know, they probably gonna have him going like the second, third, or fourth round, early fourth round at the worst. But this receivers this year is so stacked for wide receivers this year in the draft. I just, you know, honestly, because being a Patriots fan, I'm really hoping they don't do the thing that they did in the 2018 draft when the draft was stacked with freaking wide receivers and we went and drafted N'Keal Harry when DK Metcalf, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, and AJ Brown was still sitting on the board.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm kind of nervous as a Patriots fan because we always fumble in the draft.
And I stay out here in Covington. We got they got Eric Stokes. He played for Georgia. He's a cornerback.
Doesn't his brother play? Yeah, I know you're talking. His brother played before? Or uncle or somebody?
Yeah, he played for the I don't know if they're akin. He's a Stokes too, though. He went to Eastside, the high school I went to, and he played for the
Saints?
Yeah, he played for the Saints.
Okay.
I think he like a lineman though, ain't he?
Uh-uh,
he a DB? DS? Oh yeah. I know he had like an ACL or something with his ankle a couple of years back.
The injury in 2020, so he hasn't played in like 2 years almost.
Yeah. So Eric Stokes, he in the draft tonight. So good luck to him, man. Cornerback. I hope everything is prosperous for him.
Right, right. Dang, that's we know people in the draft.
That's a blessing, man, to make it that far, man.
Right.
Especially in football, man. There's so many people. No, trying to make it to the league.
And they got so few spots. That's what I tell my son. I say, he was talking about, oh, I'm going to make it to the league, It's not to discourage you, but I want to bring reality to you. But you have to put in a lot of work. You just can't jump in the 10th grade and say, I'm going to the league. You know, you're playing with other athletes who've been going since Pee Wee football. Right. So I said, you need to put in a lot of work. You need to put in a lot of work to get to where you want to be. If you want to make it to the league, you got to put in a lot of work. Because, look, you're dealing with kids who started in Pee Wee football. So the best ones from high school is going to college. Now, the best ones from college is going to get drafted in the NFL. But think about this. When the NFL draft come around, they got 32 teams. How many rounds they have in the draft?
Yeah, let me tell you.
I said, you multiply that, and that's how many players are going to get drafted.
Hey, but look, though, let me tell y'all what's a cheat code that people don't really know. Genetics is a cheat code.
Yeah.
You got to think. It's people who get with people just to have a child to make it to sports. Like, it's basketball players get with, like, women that's 5'10", 6 foot to have a child to play sports. Or two parents that play sports, your genetics is going to be above average. It's natural. It works like that. It's players that played in the NFL that dated track stars and, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that really works. Like, people don't look at it like that, but it really works. Like, it's people that play, women that got kids by NBA players, WNBA players got kids by NBA players, or women who played college basketball who got a child by an NBA player, or... You know what I'm saying? All the hype, all that stuff actually works. You know what I'm saying? But it's a lot of chances where it be like regular kids make it. But a lot of times, some of this stuff be planned. Like, especially these people that's real sports heads. Like, especially if you a professional athlete or whatever, they'll go have a kid with a woman that's 6 foot, 5'10", or you know what I'm saying? That's tall, especially if they already over 6 foot. That's your kid probably automatically going to be like 6'5", 6'6", easily. Because of the genetics.
I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, that genetics play a lot in this. It's people, like, if you already in sports and been in sports, they look at stuff like that. Like, I need to date this type of one, or I need to have a kid by this type.
Before they turn on anything. I'm sorry, my bad.
Yeah, I ain't learned that until one of my homeboys, he a real, like, he used to train sports and stuff like that. He used to tell me about that. He was like, yeah, it's a lot of people that have kids by, like, people who play sports. Even if the person that they have a kid by that didn't play a sport, if they tall or whatever or athletic, they'll go have a baby with her. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. Like, some of that stuff be planned out, and your kid will come out real athletic. They'll just be natural athletic because of the genes. Like, that stuff is crazy.
And you're starting to see some of those. You see a lot of those products right now. Cause there's families in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, brother playing against brother.
But
about to be a father-son duo.
But look, check this out. Look at Auntie Cookie. Our auntie, and then look at her husband. Auntie Cookie is not a small woman, and she's not short.
No.
So, and then her husband's like 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah.
Her kids are
huge.
Genetically big.
Yeah, you're right.
If you look at it like that, you know what I'm saying? To be close to family. Like, you got to think,
hey, Auntie Cookie.
You got to think, her youngest son is in the ninth grade. He like 6'7". 6'5", right in that area already.
Yeah, you're right.
Her older son who going to playing football, he was big. He was bigger than TJ and Jalen. Oh, the same age.
Like, huge. 13.
He was already like 6'3".
Matter of fact, I was at my son's birthday party about 2 weeks ago, and we was talking with his other cousins, and one of his cousins about to go play football. He's a high school senior, and he's about to play football in college for... you remember what school he says?
I think it's like in Kentucky or somewhere up in that area. I forgot the name of it.
So he's a running back. So, you know, I said, okay, cool. I said, let me show you my other cousin because my Monty Cook's son graduate this year as well and going to go off to play college football next year. So I showed him a picture of my cousin. He said, that's a grown man. I said, no, it's not. I said, that's him. No, he's a grown man. You know, we down south, man. You grow.
Oh, yeah. Like, south down Georgia, south, yeah.
You know, it's different.
Yeah, that's different down there.
I was like, nah, man. When he was 13, he looked like a grown man, though.
Yeah, I grew up with a couple kids like that, bro. Like, bro, y'all got full beards. We in the eighth grade. Yeah, it used to be crazy.
But, you know, like, and I try to talk to the younger generation of kids when they're coming out. My kids' friends come over, and I just, you know, be like, look, man, y'all go to college. Y'all athletes, y'all do this, y'all do that. Y'all go to college. You know, I don't know if your dad are telling you, you know, but I'm telling you this because you hang around my kid. If you go to college, man, go to college with something that you're going to benefit from. Go to college and make sure that they're going to use you as an athlete. You use them to get your education. I hate to see kids. That's my biggest pet peeve is our kids getting free ride scholarships to go to universities that – we dream of going to. And you go there for 4 years just to play football and you blow it. You don't learn nothing. You don't get nothing out of it. We've had people get a full ride scholarship and blow it and then get kicked out of college. Like, come on, man. That's hurting ourselves and hurting our generation, the next generation.
I mean, I think about it like this, man. If you go to college, you're going to play sports and you're on level to the sports that you get a full ride. I think it's more personal having that motivation that, like, okay, I'm coming back home. You got to have that in you that you want to do something else because a lot of them might not have that academic type of energy in them. You know, like, some people some people can be more of a trade school type of person. They got to decide that, but they got to decide that while they in school, be like, okay, I'm about to go do this. Okay, if I don't make it in sports, okay, I know if, okay, my whole focus is sports. And if I don't make it in sports, I got to come home. I got to figure out something else that I want to do. You just got to have that plan B. You got to have a plan B, no matter
how. Well, okay, I'm glad you said it like that, plan B. Education should be your plan A. The sport should be your plan B. That's my opinion. Because... okay, when you was in high school, he might not have been that school type person, but you decide to go play 4 years of football at this university. You decided to do that. So while you're there, don't just play football for them. Get something out of it.
I get that part.
Because if you don't, your 4 years are going to end. How many players go to college and play football in college but don't make it to the league?
Yeah, that's true. I guess you got to do fine. I mean, it would make sense to find something that you like, I guess, since you're doing the whole 4 years. I mean, by the time you learn that you're doing the whole 4 years, you ain't going to be that big of a player anyway.
Right. So
what you think, Jabari?
I think that, like you said, I think that, you know, with the Ron said is right. You know, education is, it does have to be, you know, first, especially when you're talking about, you know, players going to universities and stuff like that, because, you know, these are thousands and thousands of dollars that, you know, you're wasting all just so you can go and play a game when, you know, that part kind of takes care of itself. You know, I think that a lot of players don't necessarily think about, okay, well, what am I going to do after college in the real world should this not pan out for me? Because not everyone can go straight from college football straight into the pros, or they take the other trajectory and they use whatever BS degree that they have and they, you know, they start doing physical training, which is most of them get their degree in because it's the easiest degree to get in college. It's a physical therapy degree.
Yeah, right.
You either they go do something with their BS physical therapy degree. They or they become, you know, college football coaches, or they do something coaching adjacent, even if they like, whether it be at a high school or a college level, or, you know, they chase professional athlete, you know, chasing that, you know, professional spotlight, whether it be them trying out for the NFL or the now defunct the XFL, AAF, you know, the CFL, any of that other stuff, you know. Not everyone is, you know, fortunate enough to make all of those roster spots, because you can only, it's only 53 men that can play in the NFL per team. You know, it's only, I want to say about 60, 65 players per Canadian team, and it's only like 10, 15 Canadian teams. And don't even get me started on, like, you know, these small internet control leagues and everything like that. These are also niche that those aren't even going to be guaranteed to be things, you know, for the athletes of the future. So I think that, you know, a lot of the times that, you know, like Theron said, they have to maintain that focus of, okay, football is, it's an escape. It's, you know, I'm sorry. I got sidetracked because the Patriots just drafted Mac Jones. Anyway, I'm so upset. Anyway, a lot of the times, like, you know, like I said, a lot of these parents, you know, they have to, you know, instill that in these kids early, because if you do not, it's gonna be hard. Because if you have a kid that's had his ass kissed his whole life, he can go to college expecting everyone to kiss his ass. And if he got recruited that way, which most of these athletes do, coming firsthand experience, seeing these guys come up in limousines, get free TVs, they getting signed gloves by athletes that have played at that school and have went on to graduate and make it to the professional leagues, giving them memorabilia and stuff, which is also a huge NCAA violation. A lot of it's hard at that point to get that kid to you know, keep his head on straight, especially if you're talking about him going to a top 10 program. It's hard to tell any kid that got recruited by Alabama, Ole Miss, you know, USC, Florida, Ohio State, all these other, you know, top 10 schools and everything. It's hard to tell a kid that went to those schools and probably got recruited being told, you're going to be the next blah, blah, blah at this school, or, you know, we have a 2-1, a 3-1, a 5-1 chance to make you go professional. They're going to think that they're that 1 and that 5, regardless. I think, like you said, I think it takes, you know, them not necessarily being around yes men, because otherwise this would be a situation that will constantly perpetuate itself, whether it be athletes getting in trouble once they get into the league, being around yes men, athletes getting in trouble once they get into the league, going back home and not and wanting to, you know, do the things that they did with, you know, before they were, you know, professional athletes, or, you know, my personal favorite, the ones that get in trouble after the fact. Those things, they definitely, you know, play a huge part in the, you know, the overall development of, you know, of that, you know, particular athlete.
Right. So, I mean, it's I don't even know what to say no more, because it's like, it's a cycle.
So the key is, you got to start early, really. And if you just got to have, especially as a male, if you ain't got no figure in their life, you need to. As a parent, a female, especially if you're raising boys by yourself, you need to, you know, get somebody, your older brother or uncle, somebody that's going to, you know, help them with, you know what I'm saying, develop themselves. As young, you got to, because, well, you know what?
I'm going to say this. I know what you're saying, but, well, like Kanye, I'm going to let you finish in a minute. No, but... But we got to teach. One thing we don't do in our community is teach our kids about economics at an early age. We expect for them to learn that at school. We need to start getting on top of our kids when it comes to savings, credit, all this stuff that we know as adults. We need to share that with our kids younger age, because they're growing up and have no clue of what's going on in the world and what they need to know. When it comes to economics, they learn economics, they can manage an account, they can manage their finances when they get into the league, they know where to spend their money, where not to spend their money, and yeah. they can they can get to retirement
and have money. That sounds good, but their parents don't be knowing.
But okay, if you don't know, you find out for your kid. And then you can learn with your kid. But I can't say that's an excuse because the parents don't know. The parents need to learn. If you don't know economics, you don't know economics, you really shouldn't be a parent. But I ain't gonna go there.
Man, yeah, I mean, growing up in a small country town, how you gonna now it's more like you got the internet and stuff like that. You got more resources now, but early 2000s in the 90s.
Yeah, but it don't take much to learn about open up a checking account, open up a savings account, manage your money. That's just what stuff you learn about just naturally.
How you gonna manage crumbs? There's no management and if you ain't making it.
No. I'm talking about teaching your kids. Okay.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, like, but you can't teach something that you don't know.
Yeah.
Even know more, you have to move around the world to know more. If you stuck in your smaller town, you gonna only know what you've been raised on.
How many times has somebody told you save your money?
Okay.
How many times has someone told me to save my money and then actually giving me an avenue of how to save my money as opposed to just saying
save your money.
That's what I'm saying. But that's exactly what I was saying.
But they don't have the avenue to I can tell you to save my money, but I don't.
That's what I'm saying. We say to our kids, save your money, but we don't tell them what to do to save their money or how to save their money. Common sense. You want to save some money? Get a savings account. Common sense. Save a little bit out your check. Put some money in your savings account. Say, that's starting somewhere. And it ain't about at that age how much money you're saving. It's just getting into the habit of learning how to know how to save.
And you think a lot of their parents know how to save? In small towns that, you know.
Yeah, but I'm asking about how we break the cycle. Because if we don't do nothing, it's still the same thing. And I can't say just because you don't know how to do it. Find out. Find a way. Ask questions. As a parent, if you don't know it, you go try to get the initiative. Take the initiative to go find out. This goes back to kids growing up, becoming rich, and not knowing how to manage their money when they get rich in the league or the sport. Or, you know, it could be entertainment or whatever it may be. But getting rich and then end up retiring broke because they didn't manage their money well. MC Hammer, I hear.
I got a suggestion, though. Okay. You got more people moving out of small towns and they coming up here and they learning more stuff. Whatever you learn when you move away, go back and teach. Start a class. You can make money off of it. It's people that want to know. So all the knowledge that you got, go back home. Rent out a building. Get you some flyers. Pass them out. Word of mouth. You know a lot of people. It's a small town. Word going to get around.
That's why I do this podcast.
Teach a class. You might not have people that want to listen to the podcast. There might be some people that they might need to learn face-to-face, hands-on.
Well, I mean, if you got that type of question, I provide on my podcast. I provide the podcast. I also provide blogs where you can go get information. I provide the information.
It's a lot of country people don't even deal with the internet. Older people. You know that. Come on now. Don't even be that type of person.
How many people you know on Facebook, on social media? If they can get Facebook, social media, they can get to a website and get information. Come on, man.
Yeah, but it don't work like that. This might be people that can't even afford to get the internet. It's still like that. It's still people out here that like that. They can't afford to get the internet. They barely, you know what I'm saying? They barely making it. They paying their lights and their water and stuff, you know. They paying the basic bill.
Jabari, if you can see the look on my face right now.
I ain't making an excuse, but it's true. I mean, it's people still out here struggling.
Yeah. I mean, and that's even on a non-athletic level on just a general, just trying to make it out of whatever situation you in general. And then, you know, trying to get people to come along with you and teaching these people everything like that. You know, I will say while you are taking, you know, an excellent approach to how you going about, you know, teaching the community and everything like that. I think also what Tron said, if they don't necessarily have the means or the ability to tap into a podcast or listen to a vlog, or most of you don't even know what the hell a blog is, honestly. Especially people that they don't know what the hell this stuff is. They thinking that we just talking and recording. They don't understand like exactly what the purpose of a podcast or a blog is. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, for them, they're going to miss out on a message like this. But at the same time, I also think that, like, if you want that kind of information out, you have to go and seek it. I grew up, you know, I'm one of the few people in the family that actually grew up in Atlanta specifically. I didn't grow up down south like, you know, you guys did, which I kind of wish I did.
Right.
So I could relate a lot more.
That was a blessing.
But at the same
time,
when it came to like learning financial knowledge and everything like that, it wasn't at my fingertips neither. You know, it wasn't one of those things that I could just easily go out and get, because like how Tron said, you can't necessarily teach anything when you kind of managing with scraps and everything like that. Not saying that I grew up absolutely dirt poor, but at the same time, I didn't actually move into my like actual live in my first house as a kid until I was about 16, 17. So, you know, it's kind of hard to teach a kid, you know, financial responsibility and how to manage things when, you know, the parent themselves, it's not necessarily that they can't manage their own finances, but the giving the current situation that they can't necessarily teach their kid to do things the prototypical way because they're not living a prototypical lifestyle.
Yeah, but how do you break that cycle? That's what I'm getting to. You got to break the cycle.
You need help.
It comes to a person. It comes to that person's self. They have to, that you know, changing their mentality. You know, realizing like, okay, this is the generational, because like I think the, you know, first thing I just me as a person recognizing where my family's generational curses are, realizing what they are, and realizing what I can do as my own individual self to break those curses. Mine for my family has been my financial mismanagement, everything. So, you know, now that I'm finally in a position in life where I can kind of manage my own finances kind of freely, I recognize that I don't want to make the same mistake. That's where, when it comes to athletes realizing, you see players that come into the league after Antonio Brown, after Aaron Hernandez, after Michael Vick, after Ray Lewis and all these other players. And they have to be them. They themselves go, okay, I want to be different than that. I want to be able to, you know, be able to move and shake in life and not have to, you know, look over my shoulder because I'm out here, you know, making the same mistakes and everything.
Oh, don't do Antonio Brown like that, bro.
He was a product of that scenario. He was.
I mean,
he's an example of that scenario because he also got his ass kissed all throughout the NFL because he was an all-pro wide receiver, which allowed him to act more like an ass.
Yeah, but he just won a Super Bowl.
And winning the Super Bowl ain't got nothing to do with.
Buccaneers win the Super Bowl.
He helped, bro. You can't say he ain't helped.
He assisted. He played real good.
But you got to give it to him. He didn't really do no craziness. It's more what he said.
And sexual assault allegations against him, even whether it be true or
it's
not.
It's allegations, though. He was just held at a higher standard than whites because he's black. I mean,
yeah, but that's
we just talked about being.
So I mean, all of these athletes are unnecessarily unfairly held to a higher standard in general. We have to then recognize that that's the case for us. The exact same way we as regular black men got to realize that we can't go out here and ha ha kiki with every cop we know. They realize that they can't.
But you got to understand. Yeah, but just like I said, all the allegations came when he became what the NFL called disobedient towards what they wanted out of him. That's when all the allegation came towards Antonio Brown. When he was said something about his mouthpiece and all that, just like they did doing what's his name?
Well, you know, the timing is questionable on some of these athletes.
Think, all that is out there. It's not when he was the star and making shit.
What's the helmet thing?
Yeah, when he had the helmet situation about the chin scrap and all that. With, you know what I'm saying? When he was over there with Ben, and Ben had all those allegations towards him. It was after all of that. It wasn't because he was doing that. It was because he wasn't being obedient.
So you're saying because he wasn't obedient to the league because I seen an article today. I forgot the name of the guy. Where he said his message for the NFL draftees tonight was to don't be political because nobody want to hear your opinion or something like that. And that's basically saying what they told LeBron to do, just shut up and dribble, right?
But you can't tell nobody with that amount of money to shut up and dribble.
I'm just saying, though, but they did.
Yeah, they tried to, but...
They said it. Now, he didn't do it, but they said it.
Yeah, they
were bold
said
enough
it.
To say it. So what he's saying to the kids tonight is the same thing.
Yeah.
Basically. Shut up and play football.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Don't voice your opinion, basically.
So now you're going into the league and if you don't conform to what they want you to do, they got ways to blackball you.
Yeah, try to anyway, if they can.
I mean, I can see that. I mean, some stuff. Now, some stuff, some of these athletes, they do stuff to themselves.
Yeah. It's some. You're right about that. It's some. But with Antonio Brown, I get him like 60% of the time he was right. It's a lot of stuff he did. He was on some wild stuff too. But it didn't really happen until after they started nitpicking with him, or after he started complaining about stuff. All his allegations came after the fact. It wasn't before. You know what I'm saying? They weren't just like, okay, Antonio Brown out here. It wasn't like, oh, he been sexual. This girl came out of nowhere with a sexual assault. No, it was after all, he had already had issues. Out of all the players you said, I kind of got to give him a pass, bro. Because he was one of the ones that, well, his situation was afterwards. And he, you know what I'm saying? He was a star player. He really didn't have no issues. He's just, you know, everything, his stuff, and it still was allegations. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. He never really got no charges off of. All that stuff really got blow under the rug.
This is my last thing to talk about before we end it, because, you know.
Yeah.
Do you guys think, like, because of the sensitivity of what's going on in the world right now, that pro sports has gotten more strict, overly sensitive to the stuff that's going on with their athletes? Like, for example,
the NBA doing like the Black Lives Matter stuff.
Yeah, the Black Lives Matter for the NBA and the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, I mean. That's two opposite scenarios there, because you had the NFL that they don't want to, they again, this is a big issue about kneeling and standing, and I don't want to go all into a conversation about that.
But
the players themselves, how they treat the players when they do something. Let's take Antonio Brown.
Let me tell you.
They suspended him for almost 2 years, didn't it?
Yeah, but let me tell you the difference between the NFL players and the NBA players. It's more black stars in the NBA that are speaking up. So all the money is speaking up in the NBA. So what the NBA going to do?
Follow suit.
They going to follow suit. In the NFL, the money is not speaking up.
I say the money's
right. The money is owners.
owners. The top players in the NFL was supporting Trump. They, you know what I'm saying? Not kneeling and stuff. So they don't care about the, they can replace y'all. They don't care about the one or two. They don't care about the one or two black players that's kneeling. Y'all replaceable. Like, it's the NBA, the NFL is way more replaceable than the NBA.
If you was an NFL player being drafted tonight, and you're would not you gonna, tell them to be like, just go in the league, keep your head down, and
you gotta
and play the game?
They really just got to make their money, because the NFL money don't compare to NBA money.
Yeah, right. I ain't talking about the money. I'm just saying, would you tell them, though, you get drafted, get in the league, keep your head down, don't get in no trouble, play the game, and then mind your business, and then
you basically got to. And then your faces seen more in the NBA than in the NFL, too.
I mean, of course, you don't. They're not recognizable unless you're a star athlete. Like. Yeah,
so that counts a lot, too. If the NBA, if the NFL was more recognizable, far as like, okay, When you walk on this street, people gonna know who you are. That'll make a big difference too in the NFL.
They should put like the NFL players with number on one side of the helmet and a picture of their face on the other.
Right. That matters a lot in the NFL. And like I said, it's way more players in the NFL. It's like four times the players in the NFL than maybe more than that.
It's a lot,
bro. Like.
Yeah,
you gotta think the NBA, like,
it's like 4 or 5 to 1.
It's like 500 people in the NBA. Professional, like, count the bench. So, I mean, of course you're gonna have more power over there. They gotta follow suit. It ain't even no hesitation. You gotta think the top 10 players in it, the top 20 players in the NBA. It's different. I say the top 10. It's some. They got some dog white people now, but they from overseas. But I say 90% of the top 20 players are black. Mm. They might got 3-4 players that's white, that's top, and they is not from the U.S. Mm. You got Nurkic. You got what's your boy from Milwaukee?
Giannis.
No, I'm talking about white. That's top 20 players. What's your boy?
Milwaukee. I know you're talking about Luka Doncic.
Yeah, Luka. Yeah. You got Luka, Nurkic, And what's the, and I can't even think of a third Jokic white player. Yeah, you got Jokic. Them might be the top three white players. Everybody else is black.
Y'all might have noticed all my references tonight was NFL because I don't really watch basketball.
But with basketball, they, you know what I'm saying? Black people got the upper hand because there's more stars over there. You know what I'm saying? That's so they got
say. That's a more, you know, player ran league, and like in their CBA,
yeah, it's more,
a hell of a lot more power than the owners do.
Right.
Which is why most of these artists in the NBA can cry and moan and get traded to whatever team they want to, whereas in the NFL,
it won't. Yeah.
It works completely different.
Yeah, like just today, Aaron Rodgers said he don't want to play for the Packers no more. Well, the Packers said, well, you're going to be playing next year.
Yeah. Right.
You got on the contract.
And then you had right. And look at James Harden. James Harden got out that shit in like a month and a half. Them folk got rid of him. They figured something out over there. That nigga said, I do not want to play for the Rockets. That nigga is not playing. He did not play for the Rockets, bro. That nigga played like two games. Then talking about this nigga was, hey, look, they talking about the nigga was overweight. That nigga went to the Nets and was 10 pounds, 15 pounds lighter. They were like, like he wore a fat suit just to mess with them, bro.
And I'm pretty sure the Rockets are still playing a good bulk of his contract too, which is the wild part about all of
it. Right. Yeah, right. They probably the majority, bro. They're like the Nets probably pay like $20,000. I mean $20 million. The rest is all Rockets.
Before I break it down here,
you're right.
I'm gonna go around and let y'all, you know, see if there's anything else we missed that y'all want to talk about. So I'm gonna start with you, Jabari. Anything you had you wanted to talk about before we go?
Not much in general. I would say that, you know, to the people out there listening, if you're raising an athlete, or if you're aspiring to raise an athlete, because even me, I dream one day of having a boy of my own that I can, you know, raise and hopefully he becomes, you know, a hyper athlete or thing like that. He ain't gonna get it from me though. My genetics out of the family. But
just about to say, you better do what Tron was talking about. Get some genetic stuff done.
Find your tall one, right. Cuz. Someone. <Yeah. laughs>
That's funny. My girlfriend standing right here, she's every bit of 5'4".
My bad.
But it's okay because her dad used to be a collegiate track star, so it's okay because he's my kid.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie though, it's been skipping though. It might be in this new all these kids eating all this McDonald's and Burger King and fast food, but I done seen some kid parents 5'5", 5'6", and they kids be 6'10". You be like, what happened? Did it skip a generation? Right. Yeah. So hey, you never know.
That being said, I would say that, you know, the parents that are raising, you know, the kids of the next generation, it begins and ends with you. It begins and ends with holding your kid accountable, not being the first yes man in your child's life. I understand that you see the future that your child could have, and you're kind of like vicariously living through your child, allowing him to live out his dreams, but don't sacrifice, you know, his own education or, you know, his own life output just so he can play a sport and letting that be the only thing to focus on. Cause, you know, there's more to life than, you know, just athletics and being a professional athlete. You know, it's also being a good person, being facts. A responsible person. So,
that's fact.
That's all I got to say about that situation.
And Tron, do you have anything in the last verse you want to talk
about? Yeah, I agree with everything Jabari said, man. You like, if you know you know what I'm saying, you the type of person to be the type of person to force sports on your kid, and you want to play this type of sports and put all this into them, you got to balance that out. Make sure that you raising them to be academic, you know what I'm saying, making sure you on them with their grades and stuff so it can all balance out. You know what I'm saying, raising them to be a decent person. You just got to raise your kids to be right. Don't be focus all on one side. You got to balance this out because you're going to be mad in the long run if your child do not make it in this sport and you ain't taught them how to have good grades, stay focused on school, you know, stay focused on the academics, because it's deeper than sports. You know what I'm saying? You got to raise your kids on life. Life is deep. Everything don't go your way. That's the whole key. Everything in life don't go your way. So if they even great at sports, keep them at a high standard. You got to keep them humble. You got to keep your child humble. That's the key.
All right. And my final thoughts is this. It seems like we all come to the same conclusion that you got to start young. You got to start when they're kids. You got to raise them to be the successful people that you want them to be. And like Jabari said, you can't live through them. You got to live for them. And like Tron said, you got to teach them the education that you need to teach them to grow up and be the successful people that you want them to be. But you have to also understand that you're not going to be there all the time to hold their hands. You're going to have to teach them to fish, teach them to do things for themselves, and teach them to educate themselves for topics and stuff that you may not have known about or you might not have been able to teach them. So it starts at home. That's how we break the cycle. We can't have our kids growing up, getting rich, and then retiring poor. That's not a good cycle. You got to teach our kids to grow up and make great decisions and understand that it took them a lifetime to build their career where they are in their life, no matter if it's sports or not, no matter what it is. And understand, if you go back and hang out and do the stuff that you used to do, that you strived and worked so hard to get away from, if you go back and go hang out and do that type of stuff, you're putting everything that you work for at risk. That can change your life in the snap of a finger. Everything just gone. Your family, your job, your sport, your just as easy as you can get it, it can be taken away. And you need to treat it like that. So don't put yourselves in positions when you're old and not on your own. You know, teach your kids that. Teach them to understand what the risks are, what they're putting themselves in when they're going out doing the stuff they were doing. So that's my take. And I want to thank Jabari and Tron for coming on, having this conversation with me tonight on draft night, NFL draft night, which, you know, I'm a huge Falcon fan and I missed the draft. But, you know, we had Jabari over here giving me my updates and everything. So thanks, Jabari. Thanks, Tron, for coming on. And thank you, everybody, for listening. All right, guys. Thank y'all.
All right. No problem, man.
And that is Breaking the Cycle with Tron and Jabari. Now, thank you guys for listening. This was a great episode. I know I like the sports talk, and Jabari and Tron like the sports talk. But again, we really have to do something about our kids and making sure that they break the cycle of growing up and building. They kind of break that cycle and start building generational wealth for our future and for our youth in the future. So, you know, thank you guys for listening. Go ahead, listen to the other episodes on the podcast website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com. Check out the blogs. Check out the show. I appreciate you guys. And remember, you can always go on the website and buy me a cup of coffee if you like what I'm doing. As simple as a $5 donation to the podcast. Buy me a cup of coffee. You can go on the website. There's a little yellow coffee cup down at the bottom left-hand corner of the screen. And you can click on it and buy me a cup of coffee. Thank you. I like coffee.